Hannah Shergula's name will always be associated with that of Fassbinder, and yet she's also starred in movies by Jean-Luc Godard, Andre Vida, Wim Wenders, Margarethe van Trotta. Here's a chance to get a better idea of the full range of one of Germany's most acclaimed actresses, because the Museum of Modern Art is presenting a retrospective of 11 of her films now through June 30th, and I'm very delighted it has given me the opportunity to speak with her today. Hello.
Hello.
Is it true that you might have become a professor of philology if you hadn't failed a final exam?
It's making you laugh, that. It makes me laugh, too. Well, professor,
now.
Maybe not. Yeah, well, I was on my way to maybe become a teacher, because I had a couple of teachers at school that really did a lot for me. So I really think it's a basic profession, and if you like children, then it's a good thing to pick. I don't know. Nowadays it seems to be a hell of a trouble with the kids. So
maybe
I'm glad
escaped.
I took another way.
But know? At the time, I'm sure you were disappointed. What did you think you'd fall back on? Was acting ever one of the possibilities?
It took me a long time to tell myself that what I wanted, maybe because my parents had to do a lot of saving to give me to the opportunity to go to university, and I didn't want to disappoint them by going to something that is so uncertain like art. But I remember that when I was a child, that was the time when the radio was the biggest thing, because television hasn't been yet. So
radio still is the biggest thing.
Is still the biggest thing. So I was when I listened to music coming from the radio or voices, especially from abroad, I used to sort of jump on them and sing with them and imagine I'd be a singer one day. So that was maybe the first manifestation of that wish to do something that would be more in the fields of art.
And then eventually you did become a singer, but
many years later.
Yeah,
sometimes it takes me very late to do what I wanted right from the beginning.
So you went to drama school in Munich, and then you dropped out.
Yeah, I went to drama school for a couple of weeks only.
Ah.
Because everything was so easy in the beginning, and then of course you're in the way of yourself when you start really wanting to learn it, and I thought that's not for me, and I'm getting worse than I'm rather getting worse than better. And so I just tried to forget about it and went out. And in that school was Fassbinder. I met him in that very school.
He was studying acting because he'd been turned down when he tried to get into film school as a director.
Yes, twice.
Now, why do you think he did become one of the most influential directors of his time? Why would they have rejected him? Did they not understand it, or did he become better later?
I guess he was too much of an enormous talent.
Mm-hmm. He was too large.
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of he was kind of too amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And it always takes a broad mind to be able to cope with that. He had a talent that was really upsetting a lot.
Well, initially, yeah. He acted in his own films.
Did he
entice you to start acting despite your misgivings?
I get that from what he wrote many years after. He never said that to me, because we had some kind of relationship that, strangely enough, worked in a very silent way. We wouldn't have normal conversation. So he wrote that from that time at school, he had something like a flash, a sudden flash. You say that? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That this girl that I was, that was me, one day would become the star of his movies, since you already knew that he would be doing movies. And he never forget about that, because when I dropped out of school, a year passed and I was going back to studies, and he was leaving, he had left school too, and then he had joined an underground theater group, and there was a girl having an accident, and so they had to replace her. And that's when he was looking for me and he found me, and that was for me the way I could really get into it. Meaning, like, not learning it the classical way, just learning by doing.
My guest is Hanna Shugula. 11 of her films are being shown in a retrospective at the Museum of Modern Art through June 30th. If you would like to see a full schedule, you can go to the museum's website, MoMA.org. But Fassbinder kind of encouraged a stylized form of acting. You have a very you have more of a physical presence in your work. Did what you were doing fit in perfectly with what he seemed to want? I see you as almost a very naturalistic actress.
Oh yes, I don't see that very much, but you know, you never see yourself the way the others see you.
Mm-hmm.
No, I had some kind of what I liked about acting, let's say that way, was that trance-like state of being on stage when the lights are on you and the looks are on you, and it doesn't feel like in life.
Mm-hmm.
It feels more like dreaming with eyes open. And so what attracted him and why I had maybe always that a quality apart was that I had something that was more of a somnambula, so that kind of thing, going through the world. And I was moving very very slowly at that time, too.
But you were in typecast, and he cast you in a lot of different kinds of
roles.
Yeah,
yeah.
Do you think that some of this has to do with growing up in post-World War II Germany, the way you and Fassbinder developed your art?
The way he developed his art, 100%, because he was sort of creating almost a history book movie dramas,
including one film in which a woman remembers the good old days when Hitler was in power, as she's having an affair with an Arab. Arab immigrant worker,
you know,
which would have horrified all the Nazis.
Well, that kind of semi-innocence that people are drawn into the fascination of people in power, especially when the times are bad and when they promise a lot of things, and when people lack confidence, and so there comes somebody along that's telling them they're great just because they're German, or just because they're American, or just because, and so they fall into that trap. Because this lady in the movie, which is called Fear Its Soul, it has a double title. Also, all men are called Ollie. She has such a big heart. She has such an amount of generous feelings for others, and so she is. You could never just label her like somebody who had been a Nazi in another time.
But you weren't in that film.
Huh?
You weren't in that film.
I wasn't in that
film.
You
were in close to 20 Fassbinder films in 12 years. That sort of collaboration seems to me to be a bit rare, but it has happened before. Have you ever compared notes with Liv Ullmann, for example, and her experiences working with Ingmar Bergman?
I met Liv once, but...
You didn't talk about
we
that.
We didn't talk about that, no.
But do you think of yourself as a collaborator when you look back at how many films you worked together?
I think there was... at the beginning of all that, there was some kind of special chemistry, as you say. It is that these are things you can't even too much explain, maybe because on one level we have been very much the same, and on other levels we have been so different. And that...
But he was very controlling. He was very controlling, wasn't he?
He was controlling, but at the same time he also knew how to set free things that he couldn't control, because he had a very intelligent creativity. So lots of people were getting very creative in his, though he was a big, he had them like puppets on a string, but it's a kind of paradox that all those people later have done things on their own. And once we could have, Fassbinder and me, we could have become partners, I know, because once he proposed to me to do a picture and he said, "You're not just going to be an actress, we're gonna really create it together from day to day, and we rent a house, and you'll be co-writing with me and all that." And so me, that has been always wishing for that, it came so early it was a mix of fear and joy that I felt. But then this didn't happen because his lover had suicided, and he did a Year with 13 Moons. But like the picture I showed on the opening night yesterday, a video picture came out from that frustration.
That was right after you'd made the marriage of Maria.
Right,
Zorro.
After. Mm-hmm. So it made it brought on some creativity in me too, though it didn't happen.
Well, actually, you have made a film more recently of your own, haven't you?
No, this is like this is what I'm talking about. The basic material of that came on. Because this thing didn't happen, but it was about like a woman that had a schizophrenic delirium in which she lived some kind of pregnancy, but it wasn't she wasn't pregnant of a baby.
A hysterical pregnancy.
Yeah, she was pregnant of a whole city.
Oh.
She was pregnant of Berlin, but it was Berlin without the wall, and that was 10 years before the wall really fell. So she was really high on that idea that she would be the one who could unify what was separated. And Fassbinder at that time was very much interested in madness. And so I got a lot into it, and when this didn't happen, I connected myself with that material that comes up in us if we want it or not when we're dreaming. I've been always so interested in dreams.
So you have this new film that you co-directed with Jacques Seychaud called Protocol de Rêve.
Yeah, well, this is based on videos that I have done in 78. So, and I've never shown them because I did them really the most authentic way that I could do them, me with me, without wanting to satisfy any look of anybody else on it. And then I took them out of the suitcase where they have been sleeping for 25 years. And then now I've been shooting like the missing links between me now and me then, 25 years ago.
Well, you had become a star, a big star then. You won the award for Best Actress at the Berlin Festival for The Marriage of Maria Braun. But when did you, and you were, at one point, I gather, you were Fassbinder was making something like how many films in a year? It was
sometimes four, sometimes 5.
At one time, he made 9 movies in a year. Were you working with other people as well?
Yeah.
All along?
No, we had breaks between us, in the sense of, in the double sense of the word, like taking a breath and breaking away from each other for 4 years and then once forever, because it was after Lili Marleen, and then we didn't see each other anymore. But he had already in mind to shoot 2 more pictures with me. So if death hadn't been quicker than that, we would have a long future.
Meanwhile, you got to work with Jean-Luc Godard. You got to work with Andre Vaida.
Yeah, with Marco Ferreri. Ettore Scola. Yeah, I have been also working with more of with Wim Wenders and with Margaret van Trotta and with Volker Schlöndorff. So I have known a lot of directors.
And yet, it's interesting. Your English is very good. Actress people most compare you with is Marlene Dietrich. She made 1 or 2 movies in Germany, and then the rest of her career was in the United States. You didn't make a film in English until fairly recently.
Yeah.
Were you tempted? Were you offered?
Not really. I mean, I was. I have been doing one. How do you call them? Off picture?
No. Independent.
Independent picture, yeah. With Amos Kolik a long time ago. And there was Blondie in it. It was called Forever Lulu. And I did Dead Again with, the name has slipped.
It must be a very memorable director.
Yeah.
Somebody look it up.
Well.
It similar working with different directors, or were you stunned each time that they were not like Fassbinder, who was really your first experience?
There has been no one like him, because there has been no one before nor ever who would have such an output. Creative output that he himself defined as some kind of disease almost. I mean, he was in such a hurry to bring all that out of him, and he was so flexible.
He rarely repeated himself. But
yeah.
You had a chance to work with Godard, who had been one of his major influences.
Yeah.
And did very well with Passion, won the Best Actress Award in Cannes in 83 for that. Did you see any similarities?
I would say both are explorers. They don't start from what they already know. They have been with Godard. It was very extreme. It would take weeks before he start the movie at the one I did with him. And he would send us all to make parallel experiences. In the meanwhile, I was serving in a coffee shop, and Isabelle Huppert was going to a factory, and because it was somehow connected with the roles. But Godard is somebody who had, at that time, a difficult birth-giving.
He was finding it harder to turn out films.
And Fassbinder, it was just come out like this, like almost painless and
what
quicker.
Happened? You hitchhiked across the United States when you were already well known.
Yeah.
Did people recognize you?
No.
You just put a knapsack on your back and
I went with a girlfriend, and I just wanted to have that experience. It was a latent on the road Kerouac.
I'm embarrassed to realize that Kenneth Branagh directed.
Kenneth Branagh,
not exactly an unknown director. Just before we run out of time, how did you get into singing after all these years, fulfilling that childhood dream?
Yeah. Well, when I came towards 50, I realized the parts I was getting weren't really interesting to me anymore. Also because I had already 25 years of movie making behind me, and I was looking for something new. And so I remembered As it's always good to remember what you dream about when you're a child, because that's like pure nature. That's talking to yourself.
And it's worked out as the way you imagined it would?
It worked the same way as acting worked with me. I did it without too much knowing how to do it. And I got somebody as a sort of who led me into it, who wouldn't insist on teaching me like an ABC, just lead me into a wood.
Meanwhile, people can see 11 of your finest films at the Museum of Modern Art now through June 9th. Also, singing in New York, aren't you? We'll talk about that. We'll pass that on our website. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.